This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? You know, I'm always good. I get to talk to my man, Rusty. And you know, I like anybody named Rusty. This has been a name that has always, you know, been around. Because I've never met a bad Rusty.
Neither have I.
Never met a bad Rusty before.
Batting 1,000
yeah,
for life.
And he was talking about those games. Like, I mean, you got Valdosta coming all the way up here to play against Carrollton. He said Lowndes is playing against Buford. I mean, Tampa kind of Central's up. I mean, all these schools that are from down there where I'm at, all of them coming up here, it's just crazy how long these teams. I know probably been some lulls and all that because, I mean, only Kwaki but with the Pete County. But, yeah.
Who did they play this weekend?
I have no clue.
But they won last week.
Somebody
will tell us in 3 minutes.
No, I wait for the tweet from Pete Cotter.
Yeah, okay.
Let me know when they get ready for it and everything.
It is really fun this time of year where, because look, I mean, there's so many powerhouse programs in the state, in high school. So many great players coming out of these programs and playing in college. And like Rusty said, we're going to get to hear a big announcement today from one of the big-time recruits in this state. He's going on Pat McAfee to do it.
Yeah.
So he must be pretty big time. Used to just sit in the gym and pick a hat.
Yep.
Now you go on the Pat McAfee show.
Yeah.
But look, he's one of the biggest recruits in the country, so you can do stuff like that.
Yeah, man.
But it's cool when all these schools you hear about, these players you hear about, you know, the playoffs come around, they play each other.
Yep.
Like, you're from way over here in Georgia, and you're from way over here, and you square off, and, you know, at the end of it, somebody gets crowned, or a bunch of different teams get crowned champion in different levels. And, I mean, again, growing up loving high school sports, playing high school sports, and then cover it and all that kind of stuff, it's so fun. It's so different.
Yes.
Like, football is just so – high school football is so different here than anything I've ever been around, which, you know, look at a roster in the NFL. There's five guys that played in these games on every team.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, obviously getting close to the end of the season and championships and all that. But, yeah, good luck. You said this young man is going to make his announcement. I'm pretty sure I think all of us kind of figure where he's going to go.
Probably Washington.
But, if he has a Washington hat on that table, I'm going to say, why not? Why not us?
Why not us?
Why not? Well, I mean, Seattle's nice.
You know when guys
– Compton and Seattle are a lot alike.
Pretty similar from what I hear.
Yeah.
It was always funny when guys would do that just as like a favor to the coach. Because they were never going to go there.
Right.
But, like, I remember Tony Roten, people may remember him, maybe not. He played for the Sixers for a while. He was a big recruit out of Seattle. He was never going to go to Seattle University.
Right.
But he put him in his top five forever and ever and ever. And then he put the hat on the table just as like a shout out to the coach there.
Yeah.
Because then maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody would see it and they'd be like, oh, wow, he's considering going there. Maybe I should consider going there. I don't really think that's how it works. But I don't really think we're in the mix.
Nah.
I think it's between Georgia and Colorado. And I don't think it's really between anything.
I don't think it is.
I think he's going to go to Colorado.
Yeah, good for him, man. If he does, good luck to the young man and everything like
that. Another beautiful place.
So, awesome. Boulder is unbelievable. But hopefully he will, whatever goes good and everything like that.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page as far as this goes, right?
Yeah,
obviously I want what's best for him. I'm not going to make that much of a big deal about what he decides to do today because I feel like there's supposed to be going to another school, and now he's going to say he's going to go to a different one today. 50-50 he does that.
Exactly.
So, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
If he does and he plays well, then we'll talk about him. Like we're doing with the guys that are at Colorado right now, who have an opportunity if they win out to win the Big 12 championship and get into the college football playoff. That's not something that anybody thought was going to happen at the beginning of the year, so good for them. Obviously, a lot of conversation over the last couple of days about the final few weeks of the college football season and all the different scenarios and who does what and who goes where and all that kind of stuff. For the perspective of Georgia fans, things are pretty good. I mean, look, you got UMass on Saturday. Just don't get anybody hurt.
First thing I wrote on top of my paper. Just don't get nobody hurt.
Yeah, don't get anybody hurt. And don't do any nonsense where you're like random stress in the third quarter. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Put them away. Yes. Be up 35-0 at halftime and let all the starters sit.
Yes.
And then let the backups get in.
Let Peanut and them play.
Yeah,
I want to see Nitro play, man. That young man, young receiver. Let's get him some action. Get him involved and everything like that. Because for some reason, I feel like we're going to need this kid. I don't know why.
Nitro Tuggle?
Yeah, for some reason, I just feel like this kid is going to have to play a big role down the stretch.
I can totally see where you're going with that.
Because,
everybody says great things about him.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing a little bit more of him, right? Got a couple catches last game.
Right.
It's not like the guys that are in front of him are setting the world
exactly.
on fire. And who knows? Maybe Carson Beck trusts him. Because he clearly doesn't trust some of these other guys.
Yeah, that was I thought about that name this morning was, with him, just seeing him get in there and get some get some reps in one of these games. Be like, let Bobo make him like the focal point.
Sure.
You know, I want to see maybe Lawson Luck get a little bit more involved. Just guys like that as far as pass catches and everything. And just not get anybody hurt. Don't get anybody hurt because we have a game next Friday night against a team that's, our rival and all those different things that are very, very well coached.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the best team that Georgia Tech has had since Kirby's been at Athens, maybe.
Maybe.
I think it is. I think it might be the best team that he's had since he's been since
certainly the best team that they've had since Georgia's been like where they're at now.
Yes.
Right. Because
yes,
I think they beat him first year.
Right.
But that was
But that was because we were awful.
Right.
But I mean, I think Tech is very good. They got a big game tonight. Also,
they got a game tonight.
Yeah.
You want to familiarize with Georgia Tech? If you have not done so yet, you can watch them tonight on ESPN against NC State, or you can go.
Yep.
It's right over there,
right
at Bobby Dodd.
Right over there, Bobby Dodd
at 7:30.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing is that. You know, you go out there, you put on a good performance. Like you say, it's going to be a noon kick, whatever. Being there, I saw that Kirby said that's going to be senior day, so all the seniors are going to walk out with their mama and daddy in them. And that's the thing. Don't get hurt, put on a good performance, and let's see some of these young guys play. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, look, there's nothing to be learned in this game, and probably not all that much in the final game either. The only thing that the final game can do is hurt you if you don't show up and Georgia Tech somehow stings you. But
right.
The hay is in the barn as far as the SEC play is concerned for Georgia. They're 6-2. If the rest of the league comes back to them, either A&M or Texas is going to lose because they play each other.
Correct.
But if somebody else jumps up, I mean, if A&M gets caught looking past Auburn this weekend.
You see the old Elko thing, right? We just got Auburn on our mind, like
right.
Is that game on the plains?
It is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Strange things. I always say this about Georgia. Strange things happen on the plains. Mm-hmm. Don't go down there and get called up, Elko.
Yeah, I mean that's
don't
a classic. It's a classic look ahead game.
Don't go down there messing around with Auburn.
Well, and here's the thing, like with respect to Texas A&M, they're 5-1 in the SEC, and they've had a nice season. That win over LSU was probably the most impressive thing that they've done this year. Maybe I'm missing something, but they don't have a ton of great wins or anything. Like they're all right. They're not great. They're not great.
No.
So like, and look, Auburn's terrible. Auburn's having
a
horrible year. I understand the focus is on next year and the recruiting class.
They
have
a really good class, though.
They are.
They have a really good class.
I know, which is why the focus is there.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not good this year. But all that said, you're right. Like, don't be too focused on Texas final week of the year and trying to get the SEC championship game and all that stuff, and go down to Jordan Hare and get smacked.
Yeah, don't do that.
That can happen.
That can happen. That place, weird stuff happened down there, man. It really, really does, man. But I think that we all know the biggest game of the weekend is Indiana going to Ohio State, which is going to be I don't know what, because I might pick this. I'm thinking about picking this game tomorrow,
okay,
but I don't know which way to pick it. You know, that's my biggest thing. It's like, I don't know which way to pick it between these two teams, because I don't know how good Indiana is. I know how good they are. I don't know how good they are when they face a team like Ohio State.
How could you?
Yeah.
They haven't.
This team.
Their best win is Washington.
Like, I know how Ohio State plays against teams like Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if Indiana is, you know, because, I mean, you said it Monday, I think. I didn't realize this, that they got, like, I know you were saying he had some of his players from James Madison transfer. He damn near had the whole team transfer.
All the good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He damn near had the whole team from James Madison transfer to Indiana. You know?
Yeah.
And so that's what I was like. I know Andy said a couple. Like 14, 15 of them dudes.
Yeah, he brought all the good ones with him.
Yeah, that's good.
So they've been 10-0 before. They were 10-0 last year.
Yeah, so do you think he went in there like how Dion went in there, Colorado? I bring in my Louis. I'm bringing my Samsonite.
I don't know. I think he's somewhere between Samsonite and Louis. I don't know where Signetti's
at. I'm bringing my – some of y'all might want to think about that Porter. I'm bringing my Samsonite up here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's what you said is that no one knows. That's what it is. For all the Indiana fans that are mad about disrespect, all right, go show them. The only thing that matters is the games, right?
Right.
Well, go show them.
Yeah.
You got the national stage.
You're gonna
at noon.
You're going to get your opportunity.
On Saturday.
Yep.
Go beat Ohio State. Or don't.
Yep.
And then shut up. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. Because, like, if you don't, then you can't be mad at everybody for questioning the schedule.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, if they go out there and get beat by 21 by Ohio State on Saturday, then...
See?
All right. It was a nice season. It was a nice season.
See?
I hope that isn't what happened, but, like, that's the point. Like, all the arguing this week, it's kind of a wasted exercise. Because they're going to play on Saturday against Ohio State, number two.
It's not a wasted. It's not a wasted.
Because you can argue, if you argue good enough, Randy, before noon on Saturday, and you're an Indiana fan, you're going to help them win. Did you know that?
Yes.
You can.
Yes.
If you yell loud enough on Twitter, you're going to give the Hoosiers a better chance to win on Saturday.
Well, I mean, we have a Hoosier here.
I haven't heard
one damn peep out of him.
The loudest guy that works at the radio station.
The loudest dude here
hasn't said anything about the Hoosiers. I know.
I was actually resetting all of my passwords, but I will say this.
No, you don't have to.
Traditionally,
it's okay.
Indiana and Ohio State at the Horseshoe have been very weird games.
I was just saying, all right, we'll come back and get to what's trending. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Right side to Curry. Curry fakes. Curry pushes off. Curry shoots a three and makes a three. So he's at his average of 23 now, so he can come out of the game. Warriors 116, Hawks 90.
Yeah, that was pretty much the dagger. Not that they're really neat. The dagger, I guess, was really in the first quarter when the Warriors went up by 20. But yeah, Steph was solid last night. The Warriors are just a deep basketball team, man. They had seven different guys scoring double figures. They go like 11 guys deep on a nightly basis. They're really good. They're 11-3. They're 5-1 at home. They beat the Hawks last night, 120-97. The good news for the Hawks was they had pretty much their whole rotation back. Like, they had all the guys that you'd want to be starting. They were able to bring DeAndre Hunter, Bogey, Okongwu, Bufkin off the bench. So it wasn't a depth issue.
No.
It was that the Warriors are really good and hard to beat at home issue.
Yeah, I mean, they are, you know, they kind of, you know, revamped this thing like it used to be. They're back to playing defense because that was one of the bigger things. I know Steph and Clay and everything, but they want a better defensive team in the NBA, and they've gotten back to that.
That's the thing that I thought went so under-talked about with the Clay stuff. Like, we focused on the 1-for-11 nights and the struggles offensively and that. Like, Clay was one of the best perimeter defenders in basketball for a long time.
Yes, he was.
And you know, was such a huge part of what they did. They were the number one defensive team for a lot of the years that they won those championships. And again, the focus is on the threes, and I get it. But, like, Clay was such a liability. Is a liability now, but was such a liability the last couple of years on defense. And they were playing him, like, 35 minutes a night because they had to. Because he was on a max contract, and he's a legend there. Now you can actually put guys out there that are – some of them, like, specifically for defensive purposes, like Gary Payton and guys like that. Like, I don't know. They're good. They're a good team. They're they've rebuilt it the right way, and maybe they can make one last, or who knows, two last runs at it before Draymond and Steph have to call it quits.
I think that's the biggest thing. They want to get this, try and see if they can get another one with Steph and Dre. And right now, Steph's not having to do too much.
Nope.
Because and they're resting him enough. They're not playing him a heavy minutes for those times when they got to play him heavy minutes. And so as an older player, you can't do nothing but appreciate playing like that, but yet also winning at the same time.
He played 30 minutes last night, 7 to 10 from the field, 23 points, 8 assists. Just a tidy little night.
Efficient.
Yeah, plus 27 while he was on the floor. Hawks missed a few open shots early that maybe led to the game going the way that it went. It was probably going to go the way that it was going to go. But some pretty good looks that they didn't make, unfortunately. And then there's just like, they just turn the ball over, man. Like, they turned it over 27 times the other night against the Blazers. They turned it over 17 times last night. A lot of those were early. It's just like some sloppy half-court play at times with this team, which
it's frustrating, and it's going to be
it's not great.
Because the thing about it is, it's a lot how we talk about, you know, the Falcons a little bit. I mean, they're an offensive-driven team. The Hawks are an offensive-driven team. I know that Dyson Daniels. I know what he's been brought to the table and all those different things. And they can play defense. But them turning the ball over is taken away from the best and most important part of what this team is, and that's their offense, period. They got to score. I saw Trey hit 11 last night. Only 11 last night.
Yeah.
But, you know, he hit 9 the other night. And so is this one thing where let me see if these guys can figure out. Because one thing I ain't got to ever worry about Trey is offense. Because, I mean, that dude can – he has an arsenal that, you know, is second to none. But is it a point where he's just sitting back and just not being aggressive offensively because he wants to see his other guys get involved?
I don't think so. I think they kind of just took him out of it last night. They just did a pretty good job defensively on him. They kind of trapped him, and then he had to give it up, and that was that. I don't know. That's one of the – even after all these years, like, defenses just kind of throw that at him, and that's it. Yep. You know what I mean?
Because
he doesn't move off the ball still, really.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. Like, he's obviously very good offensively, but, like – to still be, it's kind of that easy for teams just to be like, well, we just want to make sure he doesn't score, so we're just going to throw a trap at him, and then he's going to dump it off and just kind of stand there. And that's what he
did. Go back and get the ball.
Well, yeah, something. go run the baseline and come. But it's well-worn territory. Anyway, they lose last night, 120-97. They're 7-9 on the season, and that's that. All right,
they're in the mix though in the East.
They are
because the East is.
Yeah.
Because everybody's sorry, injuries and everything like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, we'll get back to some more, like, big-picture NBA stuff in, like, 15 minutes, sort of check in every now and then with the way the season is going. Yeah, there's some teams off to really bad starts in the East. So the East is kind of there to hang around. And I've always thought, like, in this era of the NBA, if you do what the Hawks can do, which is they can play some pretty decent defense and they try hard, you can go 500.
Yeah.
You know?
Easily.
Like, you're not a great team or anything like that, but, like, you can try hard on defense your way to 500. So, hopefully they can do that. All right, here's Chris Sale talking about winning the Cy Young.
It means a lot. It's a special night, you know, obviously, you know, having Maddux announce it, being the Atlanta guy, and, you know, having a guy I looked up to and, you know, early in my career, and having Peeve here, you know, on the panel, it means a lot. So this is a special night.
Good for him, man. I mean, I don't think anybody here is surprised by Chris Sale winning the Cy Young, and I like how everybody's digging up the clip when they signed him, the Braves. Signed washed up pitcher and things like
that. Oh,
who
said that?
Oh, it was a Deadspin owner. I just saw Grant. I just saw Grant McCauley had retweeted.
The receipts.
Yeah,
they had the receipts.
Yeah, I saw that part about it. But yeah, just for him to go and do and just put together, because it was something that we talked about with Grant and everybody coming out of spring training with him, is this fact that, you know, the stigma coming in him was he was injury prone and all those different things. And then you hear about the injuries and how the injuries occurred.
Yeah.
And he came, hit the ground running, and he just continued to just look like Chris Sale, man. And so congratulations. Although I know it's awesome. The video, I saw that this morning of him being announced as the as a Cy Young from Maddux and everything. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to be the head of the rotation for the time being. We don't know when Spencer's coming back. Saw Max Fried decline the option, which is, you know, kind of figured that was going to happen. And they'll get to working on a long-term extension if that is out there.
Yeah, they'll make him an offer. And other teams will, too. And we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I mean, the Chris Sale thing was really interesting because he was injury-prone. Mm-hmm. Like, he came in, he had been injured for a long time. And then you heard folks kind of dissecting it in spring because, to be honest, we're not going super deep into why Chris Sale's not playing when he's playing for other teams. Grant and other folks were like, well, they're not really baseball injuries. They're kind of freak injuries.
Right.
Like, all right, well, okay. we'll see.
Yeah.
And then he pitched in spring training. People were like, we're seeing these little indicators. And it was like, all right. Like, and I never know if that's like, if that's people talking themselves into it or if they really are seeing it.
Right.
People really were seeing it. Mm-hmm. And I think the best indicator of all of that was before the season even started, Anthopoulos was like, let's sign an extension.
Yeah.
Like, we like whatever it is, the spin rate or whatever. Like, whatever it is we're seeing from this guy,
do you think
he looks like the guy that he used to be?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Let's ink him up before he goes out and looks like the guy he used to be.
How many years did he have when he got here?
I think it was the final year.
Okay, that's why I can't remember. Because I remember the extension. I couldn't remember if it was an extension or they ripped it up and gave him a whole new contract.
It was a new contract.
Yeah.
So, or whatever. I don't know. But, like, they saw what they needed to see before he even pitched a game, like a real game for the Braves, just from spring training. And they were like,
he's good.
Let's pay him before we're going to have to pay him twice as much.
Yeah, he's good.
Which is really good. And it's another example of Alex Anthopoulos being savvy. And it's cool to have a story like that even in a year like last year, which was
awful,
pretty terrible. And hopefully you don't have another injury-plagued season, because him at the top of the rotation with Strider when healthy and the rest of the guys, you know, who knows, maybe you go out and sign a guy this offseason. Maybe Fried's back, probably not, but maybe. That you're going to go into the next year with just as much, from me, just as much expectation as I had last year.
Yeah.
Last year was just fluky. Just got unlucky, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think when this squad is at its, you know, when they're whole, we all know where they stand as far as in the National League. But it was just between the injuries to your big time players and then your other big time players not being able to damn hit.
Yeah.
And then when they kind of came out of the little slump or whatever, other big time players got hurt. And so, I mean, it was just an up and down season with injuries and slumps. And so hopefully you can hit the ground running. They fired everybody that's responsible for the slumps.
Yeah, they got rid of all
They got rid of all the guys that were responsible for the slump.
Because, without question, it was Kevin Seitzer's fault.
Yeah, they got to get rid of Kevin.
That's what it was.
Hey, Kev, you see that swing that Matt Olson has? I know it was like that. It's been like that, you know, his whole career. But this time, this year, we got to get it fixed.
Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. Get out of here.
Get him out of here. Let's get a whole new slate. All right. Georgia Tech plays NC State tonight on ESPN, a little standalone Thursday night football game. And the NFL game's not very good. So, I mean, watch the Georgia Tech game, you know?
Who's playing tonight?
Steelers and Browns?
Ew.
No one wants to watch that.
Ew.
I'm good.
Ew.
You know? Bunch of field goals, probably.
Might be snow. Apes might snow. Okay.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay, that's cool.
A reason to watch.
Okay.
That actually might be fun to see.
Yeah, man. But we get to see Jameis again. For this game, I'm talking about the Pittsburgh game. Can Pittsburgh score in the damn red zone? They are awful in the red zone.
Yeah.
Awful. In the
probably
red
not.
Zone.
Well, just throw it to George Pickens.
I'd be trying to do
just
that.
Just throw him lobs every
that,
play.
Man. Yeah, they're awful in the red zone. But yeah, they should have their way with Jameis and them.
Yeah, they should be able to do that.
Yeah.
And Tech should be able to beat NC
no
State
doubt about that.
As
no
well.
Doubt about that.
They're favored by 8.5 at home.
Don't be looking forward to that after drive.
Yeah, don't trap games.
Don't be looking for that ride up 3-16.
I know they finished 7-6 last year with a win in the bowl game. This would be the first year that they get 7 wins in the regular season since the final year of Paul Johnson.
Good.
So, and then, you know, win that and then maybe win a bowl game. You get to 8 wins. That'd be really nice. That'd be a really nice start for Brent Key. Beating Miami is the signature win that you needed.
Yes.
And they have. And
yes.
Florida State was still really great, too. I know that their season turned into what it did, but they got 2 top 10 wins.
Yes, they do.
So you can't take that away from them.
And that's how you should say it, too. And no matter how they finish, it's all about how they started. And they were number 10 when we beat them.
Yeah.
And Miami was number 5 when we beat them. And so you leave it at that. And that's the biggest thing that you want to build in a program is that culture, that type of thing. Because it's so hard to build it and because of the such fast turnover that is nowadays. And now you're in Atlanta. I saw they lost a 5-4-star defensive end yesterday to Georgia, but you're in the mix now for them. And I think that's the biggest thing with Tech, as far as you talk about recruiting this state with Georgia, get in the mix and steal some of them too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, being in the mix for some of them is different. They've already gotten a couple that they hadn't gotten before, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, build on it, man. Go out and beat NC State tonight, get into the bowl game, win the bowl game. Obviously Georgia next week too. So really, really solid year for Tech, no doubt. All right, we'll come back. We'll just kind of check in on where things are. If you haven't tuned into the NBA yet, and ratings are saying that you haven't, so what? They're still cashing checks. They got a $60 billion TV deal that they signed last offseason. But we're 20% of the way through the season, which is kind of crazy to say. We'll give you a little progress report on all things NBA, Hawks specific, coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll get into an NFL no huddle in about 20 minutes. Week 12 begins tonight. Steelers and Browns. Feel the hype. You can listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, by the way. That will be broadcast on this very radio station. We'll get back into some college football conversation at 12:20 as well. No Thursday conversation with a Falcons coach, as we've been having on Thursdays at 12:40 over the last while. But they're on a bye this week, so no coaches today. Just gonna be the back page with Bo in it.
Yeah, like what we asked,
which I actually really like.
Yeah, man.
The back page, then.
The back page. I mean, because, you know, how we like Bo. Bo's almost time to move into the house, eh? Because,
well, we are currently, we have movers on Saturday, but we've been moving stuff.
Yeah, I'm moving stuff in the house. Yeah.
That's nice that you have a little bit of time to do that, right?
Yeah, like, at the end of the day, we're going to end up having 3 weeks.
Okay. So, yeah, the worst is when there's always like, all right, we're allowed to get in Saturday. We got to be out of our place Sunday. So we have like a 36-hour overlap where we have to do everything.
Yeah, done that before.
That's what it always was in, like, you know, in college and afterwards with leases. Because the lease always starts like the beginning of September, right? So the last day of August, everyone's moving out and everybody's moving in the first day of September, and it's just mayhem.
That was the best thing ever, like living in Robert's house. Me and Terrence, we lived in Robert Evans' house in there. We didn't sign no lease. We barely paid the rent. It was crazy because the only time we paid rent is when Robert asked for it.
Right.
He never asked.
Pretty good setup.
Yeah, we never asked for
pretty
it.
Pretty good setup.
We never asked for it. I mean, I just like, hey, here you go, Robert. If he asked for it, I'm like, okay, here you go. Robert never asked for the rent.
There was a thing in Boston when I went to BU that they refer to as Alston Christmas, and Alston is the neighborhood that most of the students live in.
Uh-huh.
And everybody that lives there, I would say 90% of the people that live in that neighborhood are students on leases in apartments.
Right.
Right? School starts in September, so leases start on September 1st.
Right.
And everybody's got to be out on August 31st. And a lot of these kids are like rich, you know, whatever, rich kids So people would just empty their, you have to be out of your apartment, but where are you taking your stuff? People would just take their stuff and leave it on the sidewalk and leave and go. And like August 30th and 31st and September 1st in that neighborhood, like if you were, you know, if you were willing to go shopping, you could find some pretty nice stuff.
Really?
Yeah. I furnished my whole first apartment.
I was going to say that. I was going to ask you.
For free. Like, you know, you're not going to get a mattress or anything like that. You want to be a little more careful on stuff like that. Well, yeah, I was like, I don't know. Like, me and my mom are walking up and down the street. She's like, oh, that looks pretty clean.
Right.
She's like, I don't know. I'll buy the rug shampoo. We can shampoo that out.
My mom gave me $60. It was a mattress outlet up in Athens. What got me a bed? No. Mattress box spring in the rail. That was it.
Throw it on the floor.
No. No, I had the rails.
Oh, you did?
I had the old school rails that take the chalk out your shin.
Metal one?
Yeah, the metal one. You had one of those. And then
I had a wooden pallet. Put that on the ground.
And then me and Terrence found a mattress on the side of the highway. On Macon Highway. It was on the side of the highway. It was a three bedroom house. And so he had his room. I had my room. And so the middle room was, we told you we called that room. That was the.
Yeah, what was that mattress for?
That was for that room.
Got it.
And so we found it, and we were driving.
If guests stayed over.
It had it on top. A lot of drunk homeboys woke up in there and had it, like, we had it on top of the car.
Yeah.
Holding it, driving around Athens trying to get to the house.
Yeah.
It blew off a couple times.
I had a truck in college, so that meant I was the mover.
Yeah.
Like, anybody was moving, they called me and I would help them. And what we would do is just put everything in the back that you could get in there, and then whoever was the guy that was moving would, like, lay on top of it. A human bungee cord, basically, and you try not to take the corner too fast. I definitely did one time, and the grill fell out the back. And he was like, "I stole it. You can leave it." It's like, all right. So there's a Weber if anybody wants it. Free grill if anybody wants it.
Man.
Yeah, God, just the
college living,
the idiocy of youth. Anyway, you want to catch up on what's going on in the NBA?
What is going on in the NBA? Other than the ratings are going down and everybody's hurt.
Yeah, that's what's going on in the NBA, really. Like, I understand the ratings are down, but they'll ramp back up as the season goes, maybe or maybe not. But, yeah, everybody's hurt. Every night you watch or don't watch, someone else is getting hurt. Like, Luka is going to be reevaluated in a week. He hurt his wrist earlier this week. Paul George got hurt last night. That team's already decimated by injuries, not surprisingly.
8 minutes. All three of them played together.
Yeah, Maxey, George, and Embiid have played 8 minutes together this season. And I don't know how many more minutes it's going to be than that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what Embiid's status is. Paul George gets banged up last night. Like, they're a disaster. obviously, we talked earlier in the week about their closed-door meeting that they had and all that. Pretty early in the season for that.
It's too damn early.
Now Embiid's mad because it got leaked, which I don't blame him.
Or he is mad?
Yeah. I don't blame him.
No.
Like, it got leaked that I got called out in front of everybody? Like,
right.
How? Who told? You know?
Because, yeah, I mean,
like, that's not great.
The team meeting was for us to stay together.
Right.
And then
so we had a
team
meeting
over,
so you can go tell the media about it?
Exactly.
Somebody did.
Yeah. Oh, no. Somebody. Shams got somebody in that room.
Yeah.
Or he got it bugged.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, either it's bugged or he got or and that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the type of crap, and that's what I always talk about when it's like, make it challenging for them to get stories about it.
Exactly.
Don't go tell them.
Exactly. It already is easy because we're 2-12, right? Like, we're 2-12 and the star player can't play. Like, we have a team meeting to try to fix the stuff, and you immediately tell the media about it. It undoes the purpose of a player's only meeting when you do that kind of stuff. Anyway, they're a disaster. I mean, honestly, you know, there's a number of pleasant surprises across the league. I would list the Hawks, for me, so far this season at 7-9 and some of the wins that they've had. I would say the Hawks have pleasantly surprised me. Like, I mean, if you would have said, 16 games into the season, what do you think their record's going to be?
Uh-huh.
I would have guessed probably something more like 6-10, so that's one game away from what they are. But,
right.
I mean, they've played better than I expected that they would.
I think early this week when we were talking about the Hawks, it was more or less, I want to see how this team looks when they're fully healthy, have the full rotation of players, how Coach Quinn uses them and, you know, stagger the minutes and things like that. You know, DeAndre Hunter, I think we all agree, needs to come off the bench.
Yes.
It seems that's where he flourishes at. And I think you need to leave Richashay in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
because that's really what this is at the end of the day.
Yes.
Like, Richashay, Jalen Johnson, Trey, obviously, but, like, those guys developing together and seeing what they can be.
Yes, because that's going to be your future right there. And, yeah, I mean, you've already paid Jalen Johnson to ensure that we know where Trey is, and then Richard's number one overall pick. And so you try to figure that out. I think Bogey's better coming off the bench also.
Definitely.
And that makes him better and at least accept him to maybe injuries as much by taking some of that wear and tear off his body.
And it makes your starting lineup better defensively as well. Because if you have Trey and Bogey in the starting lineup,
it's going to be pretty bad.
You're behind the eight ball.
Coach Quinn and it's still early. But the one thing about it is because of how bad the East is. And if you look around the East, who's missing from certain teams, this is when you gain your ground.
Mm-hmm.
This is, if you're the Hawks, this is when you take off. Because when Middleton comes back, and eventually Embiid's going to get into shape, and Paul George is going to get back, and Maxey's going to get back, I think the team is going to be better. You know, Ben Carroll's going to be back sooner rather than it's been a long time.
Probably January.
Then we already talked about Cleveland and Boston, and then Miami and whatever. Go ahead and gain as much, not gain ground, but take as much ground as possible. You know what I mean? So you can put yourself in a comfortable position when some of these star players get back on the team.
Yeah, look, I mean, for my money, the Eastern Conference is incredibly top-heavy. Like, the Celtics are the best team in the East. Even if they wouldn't have beat the Cavs the other night, I feel that way. They did, to make that statement. Cavs obviously are off to an incredible start, and they seem to be pretty legit, too. Like, they got a pretty good rotation. You know the star players that are there, but they've built it out pretty good, too, and they play pretty good defense. I don't buy the Knicks. They're fine. Like, I think, you know, they may win a playoff series, but they're not, you know, they're not like a real contender.
Why they go get Cat?
Huh?
Why they go get Cat?
Why did they do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's supposed to be the best shooting big man in history.
Yeah. And they got him.
Yeah.
And now we'll see. I think the Magic are pretty good.
I do too.
When Banchero plays,
yes.
But he's not going to be back for probably a month and a half. I don't know about the Heat, man. They're all right.
I mean, like, Jimmy plays.
They're so old.
When Jimmy plays, and that's the reason Pat didn't give him that damn extension, and he's mad about it and everything like that.
And he shouldn't have.
I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy's not on this team.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
At some point, that's what's going to happen. Like, Jimmy Butler's not young.
He's 35.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
he's 35 with a lot.
Yeah, he's a rough 35 with the Tibbs years and all the playoffs and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Other than that, like, you're kind of in the middle mix with the rest of those teams, which isn't a bad place to be for a young Hawks team. I mean, I think the fun story in the Western Conference, the team we saw last night,
play the
Hawks. Like, Golden State being 11-3 and making, like, pulling the strings the right way and kind of building that thing back around some of the pieces that had been there. Like, I think Andrew Wiggins is kind of the X factor because he's third best player on that team.
He seems like, you know, whatever.
If he's good mentally and he's making threes like he has been this season, they're good.
And he may be their best perimeter defender also.
He may be,
He may be the best. But I love the addition of Buddy Hield. I like Buddy Hield on any team because he can do the one thing that every team needs.
Shoot.
Yeah. He needs everything.
And don't have to do anything else.
That's it.
That's perfect. Because like, he's been asked to do, like, other random stuff.
No.
You don't want Buddy Hield to do anything.
You let go Buddy shoot.
Let him shoot a couple leak-out dunks. had some easy buckets last night. Let him shoot and smile and be a vibes guy. Like, that's exactly
what,
just a vibes guy.
Okay.
Every team needs a vibes guy. And he's that team already has great vibes because they've got Clay and – or, sorry, they've got Steph and Steve Kerr. But, like, you got Buddy Hield in that mix? That's great.
Okay. Vibes guy.
The NBA employs those guys. Like, you just – you can have, like, a $12 million a year contract for just being pleasant in the NBA. Like, you know what
I mean? Or somebody's brother.
Yeah, or somebody's son in some cases.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, like, I don't know. John Collins is making, like, $20 million a year.
John Collins is not playing bad this year.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, John Collins is playing bad this year, but it is what it is. I mean – he wanted the contract. The Hawks felt like they had to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think have we ever talked about that? Did you feel like they had to give John that?
Yeah, they put themselves in a bad spot. Okay. John Collins, and I mean this with all due respect because I really like that guy.
Yes.
And I really liked covering him, and he's a really good dude. He's in the perfect spot again.
Yep.
He's on a bad team.
Yes.
Like, John Collins thrives on bad teams. You get him in the pick and roll and let him get a double-double, they're 3-11. They're the worst team in the Western Conference. John Collins is going to eat on a bad team, just like he did here. You know what I mean? John Collins.
Double-double machine.
He was about an
all-star guy.
He was about 20 and 10,
yeah.
And they were bad, and he was really friendly, and that was what they had at the time.
Good guy.
And got $125 million for it.
Great guy. And we don't believe in the Pacers, right?
No,
we don't believe in the Pacers.
No.
Pistons, yeah, whatever.
I don't know, man.
Who's the head coach of the Pistons?
I kind of like the Pistons a little bit.
Who's the head coach of the Pistons?
Who did they hire? I don't remember. But I like Cade Cunningham. Like, that guy's good. When he's healthy, he's good.
They did give Monty all that damn money. I thought Monty left. Monty Williams.
Didn't they fire him?
J.B. Bickerstein. Okay.
Yeah, they fired Monty.
Like, Monty.
Monty didn't even make it to the end of the year last
year. Yeah, Monty got – Monty. What did they pay him, like $90
million? They paid him a lot of money, man. And they didn't even make it through 1 year.
Damn, Monty.
Yeah.
If I'm him, I ain't coaching ever again.
Yeah, it's a buyout.
It's a buyout. That's 90.
Yeah, I could live on the beach.
Yeah, go live – I mean, straight, I'm living on the beach. I'm talking about, I'm having to sweep sand off my floor beach.
We'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle. Week 12 begins tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.